Part one is going to be offenses that you and I could be involved with and how to handle those things. And then understanding this thing of offenses, which can save our lives. I think you could be kind of surprised about the second half. I was when I started studying this. It was kind of interesting. Okay, first of all, Paul, when he started out, he was an insolent person. I mean, he was going around attacking the church. He was having people stoned. He was throwing them in prison. Not a nice guy. And after God knocked him down, trust me, with Paul's reputation, prior reputation, people were like, I don't think I want to talk to that guy. I think he's trying to infiltrate and throw more of us in prison. They just did not want to have anything to do with him. It took a while. It took a number of years, actually. But Paul went from a very brash, self-righteous Pharisee who attacked people and certainly was very offensive, to a person in Acts 24, and you can just mark this down as a reference, Acts 24 and verses 14 through 16. He's being grilled by Felix towards the end of the book there. He states that he doesn't want to cause any offense to God or to man. One of his objectives in his life was to be non-offensive. Now, you can look at this word offense as applying to disobeying God's law, offending the law of God. But you can also, it also applies to how you and I interact with other people. And God has lots to say about that. We are responsible. We heard a sermon that talking about how we need to be good examples or ambassadors. And that is a basic critical point in our Christian life. And it fits right in with this thing of not being offensive to people, because a good ambassador is not going to offend others. He's not going to be brash. He's going to be, or she is going to be, considerate of other people's feelings. And they may be, well, as we get into this, we need to understand what God says and how we need to handle situations. If someone does something to us, for example, that, quote, offends us, unquote, what do we do? You know, should we be offended? How should we respond? What should be our first thought? How should we conduct ourselves? Well, let's look in Romans 14. Romans 14, and this is the basic principle here that we want to be looking at. I thought this was a good place to start. Of course, this is Paul once again, the man who definitely learned a great deal from Jesus Christ, being personally taught the way he was. I'll tell you, what he went all went through is quite amazing. And God certainly had his 1,000% attention. Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? And in other words, arm's length, you know, or I'm not having anything to do with you. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us is going to be judged before God. So who are we to be judging one another? In other words, what he's saying is don't waste your time and spend your energy being a judge of other people, because we're all going to be judged. Just take care of yourself and look in the mirror. That's the person you need to be judging. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. In other words, don't set yourself up as a judge. Judge, jury, and, you know, executioner, as some people say. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, in other words, instead, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So by our conduct and by our example and by the way we treat other people, we want to avoid making, or we want to make sure that we avoid doing anything that's going to offend them or be cause a stumbling block to be put there. And we know the example of Paul and how he said, you know, he talked about the meats offered to idols, and some people were weak and some people got offended by it. So he said, as long as I live, if that's the case, if that's necessary, I'll never eat any meat like that in front of these other people because I don't want to do anything to offend them or to cause a stumbling block to be put in front of them. Principle here is, and that's what he talks about in this very chapter, the principle being that we're responsible to do everything that we can to make sure that we're not offending other people. Now, what if someone comes along and offends us? Someone comes along and says something to us or does something that really upsets us, and we say, well, I'm offended by that. Should we do that? Should we be offended or let ourselves be offended? What should our reaction be? Well, let's go to Matthew 18. Well, before we do that, no. Let's go to Psalms 119 instead. This is the principle that would apply here, and then let me expand on this a little bit. Psalms 119, and I'm sure you all know what this says. 119, verse 65, or 165. 119, 165. Now, verse 161, David is saying, princes have persecuted me without cause. So princes have accused him and persecuted him, and they had no cause, but they were still doing it to him. And if he wanted to get offended, he certainly could have gotten all huffy, angry, mad, and wanted to lash back some way at them. But my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice, he said in verse 162, I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil. I hate, and, well, let me go back to that verse. In other words, he's rejoicing at God's word as in the same way he would rejoice if he found great spoil or great treasures. I hate, verse 163, he says, and abhor lying, but your law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Okay, so he was looking at God's principles, God's way, in spite of the fact that he was being falsely accused. And he was being falsely accused and attacked. In fact, they were chasing after him and trying to kill him. But in verse 165, great peace. Now, people who feel offended and get all upset over things don't have peace. They're all upset. They're all bent out of shape. It says, great peace have they which love your law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, that's a pretty strong word, because we as human beings can get upset and irritated over lots of things, very simply and very easily. That's natural, normal. Someone says the wrong thing, looks at us the wrong way, makes an accusation that's untrue, and the hackles on the back of your neck go up, and you get irritated. And, you know, I've had customers lying about my products and because they were getting paid off by my competitors to go buy that other product, and all kinds of things like this, and sabotaging things. Believe me, that was not fun. And we weren't talking about 5 cents. We were talking about thousands and thousands of dollars per year of products. So it wasn't easy. But this principle is right. Great peace have they that love God's law, and nothing shall offend them. So you back away. And the first thing that we should be thinking of, especially people within the congregation, if something happens, and it will, just a matter of time, which seems offensive to you, or somebody says something, or someone, it seems like someone ignored you, didn't say hello, or whatever. You know, you could come up with all kinds of different reasons that you would get unhappy or irritated, or say, well, that person just doesn't like me, or whatever. What should our first reaction be? Well, if that's the way they're going to be, then that's how I'm going to treat them. Nuts to you, buddy. No, the first thing that we should think of is there something I am doing that is causing this? Or maybe I did something that offended them or upset them or made them uncomfortable. What can I do to fix this? Is there a mistake I have made? You want to look at yourself first to see if there's something that you or I could do to help mend this problem. We want to reconcile with people. We don't want that kind of relationship. God is very specific about, and we'll read about that, about not allowing those kind of feelings, those kind of things to be hanging over us. That's not pleasant. That doesn't give us peace. It gives us discomfort. And we aren't feeling very much at ease when we're worrying or feeling that way. So the best thing to do is, and we'll read what Christ said to do to resolve the problem. But first look at yourself and say, now, is there something I did here? Can I do something to rectify this? Maybe I wasn't very understanding. Maybe I said some dumb thing or whatever caused this person to respond that way. You can't fix the other person, okay? You can't make them, not feel upset. But you can look at yourself, and there may be something which can resolve the problem and be able to help you reconcile it, and then both of you will be at peace. Because he goes on in verse 172, he says, "My tongue shall speak your word, for all of your commandments are righteousness." So this is what we need to be looking at. We need to be looking at God's principles in spite of the fact we may be being persecuted, as David was, and in his case even threatened, having his life threatened. You know, they're chasing after you with the army with big swords and knives and whatever else they had for their war implements. That's pretty serious, a lot worse than what we go through. Okay, so we can't let ourselves be offended. Can't say, well, that offends me. Well, maybe it does. Get rid of it. Don't let it offend you. Because God says, great peace have they which love your law, he said, and nothing is going to offend them. They're not going to have a stumbling block or allow a stumbling block to be in front of them. Now let's go to Matthew 18. and let's look at this and realize it's maybe a little different than what we thought. The principle is there of going to one another and working things out. Okay, Matthew 18, and we'll start here in verse 6. But whosoever shall offend, now this is the scriptural information here, that we need to be careful on what we do. We can't allow ourselves to go around doing things which offend little ones. We've got to be very, very careful, because whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which he's referring back to the beginning of the chapter, whoever's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, we might just read it. And Jesus called, verse 2, a little child to him and set them in the midst, because the disciples were arguing who was the greatest. And Christ said, okay, I'll give you the example. He took this little child, put him in the midst of the disciples, and he said, truly I say to you, except you be converted, They weren't converted yet. That's why they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest. They didn't get it yet. They were still thinking of themselves, not thinking as a Christian. So he said, okay, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. But once you're converted, you no longer are all self-defensive. You're not trying to protect yourself because, look, I'm good, and look at all the good things I do, and I'm important. And no, you become like a child, and you're ready to be taught, and you become teachable, and you're thinking about other people. I got such a kick when Roger took me around here in this Head Start. You know, back in one of these classrooms down the hall there, they've got different sections within the classroom. One of the sections that the kids go through every day, I believe, is how do you brush your teeth? They all have their toothbrush and their little thing, and every day the teacher teaches them, you know, just like he was saying at lunch. I mean, these kids have had no training whatsoever. So they don't even know how to brush their teeth. So they teach them how to brush their teeth and how to wash their hands and how to comb their hair and how to be a normal person, okay? And these little kids, well, I'm walking through, they didn't know who I was, like, who are you? They knew who he was. And they're waving and they're all happy. Because little children are teachable when you get them in the right situation. They need to be guided and directed, but they want to learn. And they enjoy it. I tried to have a little quick Bible study here with the young people, you know, the little older ones. And they are very attentive. They're very appreciative. We only do it for 15 minutes. We're going through Proverbs because that was written for young people. Now we talk a little bit about school or what's going on, and then we go through some of the principles in Proverbs, and we quit after about 15, 20 minutes. And they're very attentive. They're not sitting there like, oh, brother, I'm not going to do this, you know. They're listening because they are teachable. And that's a very pleasant experience. Of course, some of you have been teachers, and you didn't have students that were very, very teachable, I'm sorry to say, in many cases. But that's another story. That's because of their background. But God said, Christ said, look, you got to be converted and you have to become humble and teachable like a little child if you want to be part of the kingdom of God. None of us are going to be in the kingdom of God walking in there and telling God what's going on. You know, we're there to emulate him and do what he says and, you know, learn his rules. We're not going to be walking in there, well, now you guys need to pay attention around here because I'm going to show you how things are going to be. No. That's not going to happen. That's why he talks about, he uses the word converted. Now, that's how we are as human beings. A converted person is someone who has changed. They're converted from this way to that way. From being a carnal, you know, self-centered individual to being teachable like a little child. Whosoever, verse 4, therefore shall humble himself as this little child, and the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive such a little child in my name receives me. Now think about that. If God is calling people and they're little ones in the church, he said, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. So we need to be receptive or receiving or welcoming and not judgmental, as Paul was saying, not judging one another, not being critical, like, oh, boy, that person just doesn't get it. You know, they're new and, oh, look what they're doing. Well, they may be doing that, but they just don't understand yet. That's not being humble. And that's not receiving one of these little children in my name. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me. Now remember, Jesus Christ and God the Father, and I emphasize this, God the Father called them. The Father called them and brought them to Jesus Christ. And then it was Christ's job to begin to teach and train them. That's what he says here. Whoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, who've gone through this conversion process and is humble like a child and is beginning to try to follow what God says, doesn't know everything by any means, but if you offend one of those little ones that Christ is working with, he said, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Or, you know, as the old terms down there in Chicago, when they deliver you the dead fish, you sleep, you will sleep with the fishes. You know, you won't be swimming with them very long if you have a millstone around your neck, but not a good thing. Not a good thing. So we have to be, I mean, this is a strong statement, and it is very, very important. And as Christ goes on to say, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses will come. Okay, that's just going to be inevitable. But woe to that man to whom the offense comes. Wherefore, if your, then he goes on, if your hand or foot offend you and so on, and he goes on personally, but then he talks about the lost sheep, and you know, he goes after the lost sheep. He leaves the 100 and he goes after the one, and he's very, very happy in verses 12 and 13 to find that lost sheep. And then verse 14, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So God does not want to lose anybody that he has called. Nobody. It's not his will. Now, this will happen, unfortunately, and if that's the choice that the person makes, that's up to them. But we don't want to be the ones responsible for offending them. So, if anything transpires in our relationship here with the people in the church, moreover, if your brother, now he's talking about people in the church, shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault. Now, he may not even realize that he's done that. He may not realize that he's done anything wrong to you. But regardless, you need to just sit down and talk with him. Let him know that what the situation is, and go and tell him his fault between you and him by yourself. Don't go talking to all kinds of other people. Boy, did you see what this guy did to me? As soon as you start doing that, as soon as you start sharing, quote-unquote, your upset, your gripes, your complaints with other people, you're really starting to cause division. That's not a good position to be in. Christ said, you and that person alone talk. Don't be talking to everybody else about it. You go and talk with that person. Now, that's hard to do, but when you do it, you will be very, very happy about that. Because usually it will turn out either, oh, I didn't understand, or I'm sorry about that, I didn't mean this. I mean, if this is a true brother, they're going to also be understanding, and both of you will come out closer, not further apart. It will work for the best. But it's hard to do that. It's much easier to go tell your best friend, you know, boy, did you see what so-and-so did to me? Don't do that, brethren, because that just causes problems. I want you to kind of keep that in the back of your mind, because that's what happened in this last, if you want to use the word split or separation. All those kind of things were being done, and it caused people to get fouled up. So you go talk to them alone. Now, if the person hears you, you've gained your brother. However, maybe he won't. So then you want to take one or two more people, in other words, witnesses that may be aware of this problem, and that way everything that is said will be established by the by witnesses, and then proceed from there. But the principle being, I mean, it can get stronger if it's a really serious problem, but the main thing is just go talk to the person, okay? And don't push it off. Don't talk to other people. Get it cleared up. Resolve it. Come together. That's God's way. And don't go around holding a grudge, ignoring people. This is hurtful to you. If you are like, oh, I'm offended, I'm not talking to that person, well, you're the guy that's or woman that's going to be hurt by that. You'll hurt the other people too. But what if they're humble? What if they are childlike? What if they're happy to reconcile? And you're the one who's all huffy and puffy. Well, you offended me because of what you said or whatever. Well, who's hurting now? Not the person who is happy to reconcile, you. And you're going to hurt yourself, and you will be start making the wrong decisions in your life. That's what happened to a lot of other, well, that's why I want to get to part two, because that's an important aspect here. But this is what God says we're supposed to do among ourselves, and especially before Passover, we want to make sure we have resolved these things. If we have any long-standing problems, and just don't go around like that. It just hurts everybody, but mostly yourself. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 8. This just reinforces that we've just been talking about here. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verse 9. Okay, he's once again, Paul is very, very sensitive to being a stumbling block before anyone else, and that's why he says, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." And that's why we could skip down to verse 13. He says, "Wherefore, if meat," this is talking about meat offered to or sacrificed to idols, "if meat make my brother to offend," in other words, if that condition or situation, "I will eat no flesh while the world stands." That's a pretty strong thing. "Lest I make my brother to offend." I will, in other words, he didn't look at it and say, "Well, that's your tough luck. I love that steak over there, and I'm going to have some of it. Let's dig in, get the grill out, and let's have it." "Yeah, but that person over there, it might be offended." "Well, that's their tough luck. I love sirloin, or I love whatever, and I'm having it." And Paul said, "Look, if I see that that is going to make my brother be offended, and it's going to be a stumbling block or something that is standing between him and God that's going to upset him, and they haven't come to understand this yet, well, until they do come to understand it between them and God, I just won't eat meat, especially in front of them." I mean, he could eat it somewhere else, but he's not going to do anything to offend his brother. So he was very, very sensitive to make sure that his actions did not precipitate offense. And that's the principle. He certainly wasn't worried about that before. And here's the other problem. Let's go to Proverbs 18. There are all kinds of things in Proverbs about dealing with people. That's why it's such a wonderful book for young people, but it's good for everybody. But to get this basis so that you and I, from the time we're young, have the proper principles to react by. Proverbs 18 and verse 19. "This is the way it is. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city." Now, strong cities can be won, but it's not easy. "And their contentions or their objections, their problems, are like the bars of a castle." Can the bars of a castle be torn down? Yeah. But, I mean, once people are really, really upset, It's a hard, hard thing. You have to work very hard at it. I have, I'll just tell you this. I have two very good friends who weren't very good friends with each other. Both of them are very independent, and they do not tend to follow other people. They march to their own drummer. And they interfaced over a number of things, and they both got mad at each other. Now, they're both in the church. Now, they didn't get into a giant fight or whatever. They just had an arm's-length relationship. And I'm friends with both of them. And I'm trying to tell him, look, you know, you're misinterpreting. They don't feel that. He doesn't feel that way, and this guy doesn't feel, and back and forth. And I worked with them for a number of years, trying to explain things to them. And they were listening, both of them, because they're both converted. But they're human, just like everyone else. And they had gotten these things in their mind, and because they're real strong-willed people, it was kind of hard for them. But they listened, and I'm sure they prayed about it. And the day came, because they were separated by many, many miles in different areas. The day finally came, we were at some meeting, at a fee. I don't remember where it was, but both my friends and I all got together. And these two guys had been thinking about it. When they saw each other, they gave each other a big hug, and problem was over with. But that was not an easy thing. And it took a long time, and I had to work hard at it to bring peace there, because they both had misunderstandings of each other. And I could understand how they had those misunderstandings because of what had happened. And I knew both of them, believe me. You have to work at being their friend. But it's worth it because they're great people. So it's wonderful to see reconciliation. But when you read this, once, you know, it is. They're like bars of a castle. They get real stubborn and they just don't want to give in. So that's human nature. That's just the way it is. But converted people can get over that. They can deal with it. And those two fellows there, my friends, are good examples. So it's exciting to be in the position of peacemaker, if you can be that situation. And I would hope that people would help me if I find myself in that situation. And they have, actually. So just remember, this is not a little thing. This is a very, very important thing. And it is, well, it goes along with what you see here in verse 24 of the same chapter. And again, these principles are great here in this book. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So you have to work at being a friend. Being a good friend isn't something you do only when the circumstances are good. Because a good friendship, you're going to run into things where you both disagree on whatever. You have to work at it. And you have to talk about things. And you have to make sure that you reconcile and you keep an open relationship. But it's worth it. It is worth it, believe me. That's the kind of relationship God wants. And once that unity is built, that's why he says that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that's pretty valuable. And I have some good friends like that, and I value their friendship very much. Okay, one last principle on how to handle this, and then we'll go into three quick scriptures here on this other thing. We should be able to go through that pretty quickly. Ecclesiastes 10, next book over from Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 14. Hope I have this right here. I don't. I must have written down the wrong verses here. Okay, it shouldn't be verse 14. It should be verse 10, or verse 4. Scratch out the 1 here. Okay, verse 4 of chapter 10. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against you, this is a principle, again, that you can apply to many, many things. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against you, leave not your place, for yielding pacifies great offenses. Don't be stiff-necked and tell the leader to stick it in his ear. That's not a smart idea. Be cooperative. Be yielding, and that will pacify the. It goes along with what Proverbs says, a soft answer turns away wrath. If the person you're talking to is very, very upset, and you answer back with a real wrathful, angry thing, well, what do you think is going to happen? Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. But a soft answer is going to calm things down and hopefully make peace. That's what, you know, that's what Christ came to bring. Is one of the major things is to bring peace. We don't have peace in this world. Just turn the TV on and listen to the wranglings. People arguing with one another and running each other down. Oh, that's strengthening our party. Come on. Ridiculous. So, oh, and by the way, I'm sure that you, well, maybe you didn't. Our president now has become a preacher. So I can now preach politics in church because he's beginning to preach scriptures. And in order to support the fact that rich people ought to pay more, he says, well, I'm a Christian. And he quotes the scripture that to whom much is given, much is required. A total misapplication. But anyway, so now he's a preacher besides. Unbelievable. All right. This is very, this second section here could save your spiritual life. Go to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Once you understand this thing of offenses, it could be an offense, and this is this word offense could apply, as I said, to disobeying God. That's offensive to God. That's an offense against God. But it could be offense against a person. But once you understand the principle of not being offended yourself and not carrying a grudge and not going around being judgmental of other people and critical, that's not being Christian. That's being carnal. And it will cause you problems. If you're in that frame of mind, look what could happen to you. You'll start making the wrong decisions. Matthew 13 talks about the sower. I'm in the wrong book here. This is the principle of the sower. Okay, and he talks about the seed landing here and there. All right, let's start in verse 20. Of chapter 13. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and he gets all excited and he receives it, but it didn't have any root. He didn't have any foundation. He wasn't soundly founded on the principles of God. It was superficial. It was emotional. He didn't have any root in himself, but he lasted for a while. Now, what happens to cause him to fall away or to get disconnected? For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, he's offended and he leaves. Think about that. He's going along just fine until he starts to run into some tests, some tribulation, some persecution because of what he believes. And he gets offended. Well, I don't know. And it could also be what we saw happen a year ago, where people start to send all kinds of false information out, get all kinds of accusations, making these big lists of all these things, causing division, which is, of course, the basic principle that was broken there, which God hates very, very much. And that could be termed or put under the category of tribulation or persecution. Yeah, well, look what that person's doing. Oh, yeah, I don't agree with that. I can't. How can this be God's church? Look what that person did. Look what those people are doing. Look what that organization, look at the decisions they're making. They're not telling the truth. And they start judging God by what they think people are doing. Now, maybe these people are doing some of those things. Does that change the Bible? Does that change God? Does it change the truth? No, it's just those people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. But you know what? Those accusations may be totally untrue. They may be exactly what the word says, accusations. If you get sucked in and drawn in to that kind of thinking, which falls into this category of being offended, being judgmental, accusing, getting all hackles up in the back of your knee, you're going to start making the wrong decisions. Tribulation and persecution, it's not a matter of if those things are going to come, it is a matter of when they're going to come. They will come. And then the person gets offended, and they go, oh, I'm not going to do anything. Well, let's go over here to Matthew 24. And this will follow right on to this. It doesn't say exactly the same thing, but you see the principle there. All right, look in verse 9, Matthew 24. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now, that's called real persecution. And shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's a persecution. That's a tribulation. That's not fun. And verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. How in the world did I ever get hooked up into this thing? You know, I'm not going to get killed in this thing. I'm not going to be brought before just because of this. Blah, 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 whatever they all do. Because they don't understand this thing of offense. They are still judgmental. They're critical, and they're looking at human beings rather than looking at God's principles and what the Bible says. None of us want to be, first of all, none of us want to have to go through any kind of situation where we're afflicted and killed. We wouldn't choose to do that. If we have to do that, then we have to do it. If we're going to be hated by all nations, then we're hated by all nations. Who's more important, what the nations think about us or what God thinks about us and what kind of an example we're setting, what kind of an ambassador we are? Is that going to offend you and cause you to betray one another and hate one another? That's what it says here. Some people are going to be offended by that, and they're going to betray and hate one another. And then, of course, many false prophets are going to arise. All right, so with that lack of spiritual understanding about nothing shall offend them, as Psalm says, you could fall into the wrong mentality here. You could begin to look at things from a human point of view rather than realizing what God said. That's what's going to happen. Do we want to go through it? No. Do we like persecution? No. Do we want to be hated by everybody? No. But God has to give us the strength to deal with that. Then go to 2 Thessalonians with that background. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. As I started going through this, and I started looking at this, and I thought, this understanding, this thing of offense, is very important because it will protect us from seeing things the wrong way. 2 Thessalonians 2, now let's just start here with the first verse. Now we beseech you, brethren, he's begging them, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. In other words, supposedly from him, saying that the day of Christ is at hand. People were writing false letters. This is why you have to be very, very careful on anything that you read or see on the internet. Anybody could put things out there. And if you are gullible and you lap all that up and you start becoming judgmental and you start saying, then you project, and how could people do these things? And you get all bent out of shape. And that's exactly what happened to a whole bunch of people recently. They fell into that trap. And then their view was clouded. And everything was then perceived from that viewpoint. And you could not change their mind. I tried a little bit. It was like talking to a brick. He says that you be not soon shaken. These people got shaken up. Oh, see this? Or be troubled. They were very troubled and upset. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. God's not going to deceive you. Satan is going to use people and circumstances to trick us if he can get away with it. He's saying, don't let anybody deceive you. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I don't want to see me or you be part of that falling away. I will try to do everything I can to help ground the church here. And so that you are founded on the foundation and that you have a good foundation. Don't let anybody deceive you. These people got deceived. They got tricked. And they listened to all this stuff. And they got, what does it say? Shaken in mind and troubled and upset. And they became emotional. And they started making the wrong decisions. Because they did not look at this thing right here, this book. First principle that they should have seen was, forget what's being said, what's the method? Is it breaking God's principles? Answer was, absolutely. It was causing division. You go back to Proverbs once again. God says there are six things he hates. The seventh one, he didn't say he hated it. He said it's an abomination. Anybody who causes division. Now, why would God be so upset with people or anybody causing division? Well, guess who did the first divisive thing? Satan the devil. Took one third of God's angels through division, lying, deception. Got them all shook up, just like it says right here. Troubled in mind. How long did it take? I don't know. What did he say? I'm not really sure. But you can look around at Satan's devices today that he has used over and over and over. And I've been around for all the over 50 years, and I've seen the same pattern. Same song, different words. It's the same thing. Get people criticizing and griping and get them all upset, They get all worked up. Now, wait a minute. Is this method causing division? Well, can that be of God? I don't care even if all these facts are correct. Is that how you do it? You start getting people all upset and trying to cause division? Well, God says no. Is God going to support that? No. You will see the fruits as time goes on. No more comment on that. But I'm just telling you, you have to look at the principles here in the Bible first. And just look and see how people, or you know, what people are doing. Look at the principles that apply to what they're doing before you start getting drawn into all of this deception. You think that it is, you think this is something new? No, it has been around since Satan, way back. And is Satan good at it? Oh, he's good. He's good enough to have deceived a third of the angels. You smarter than they are? Well, you can be if you stick to the book. You can avoid it. But if you start getting judgmental and you start getting all emotional and how could they do this and all that, back off, man. And start looking at God's principles here. And that will save you. And just go back and start reproving things and looking at the basics. And because, you know, he talks about the house built on the sand, the house built on the rock. It didn't say if the storm comes, it says when it comes. When the persecution comes, when the tribulation and difficulties come, when people come along and try to shake you up and they try to trouble you. Right now we are having peace. Do you think that's going to stay that way? Nope. When Mr. Kubik and Aaron Dean and I were talking on my interview, which we talked, as I told you, we spent hours talking. And Victor was saying, well, yeah, we got to look out for this. I said, Victor, this is going to happen again. I don't know what's going to happen, but I guarantee you it'll happen again. It'll come at us a different way. It just will, because that is what has been the history of the church from New Testament since then. So you and I have to be ready. It says many false prophets are going to arise at the end time. Talks right here about the great falling away and then the man of sin reveal. I mean, this is down the road a ways. But it's the principle. We don't want to fall away because we got emotional, we got all upset, and we got disjointed and off the track. And we don't have to worry about doing that as long as we recognize those signs. It's all right here. Warns us. When you get persecution, you get tribulation, you get people trying to get you all upset, back off. And think. And study. And look at what God says. So we have two things here. First of all, our personal relationship as far as offenses are concerned and how to deal with those. And once we understand the principles there, that will protect us from any problems of falling away. Will it be easy in the future? No. It will be tests on our spiritual conversion and our strength, but we don't have to worry about that as long as we stay close to God and we watch out. You know, we don't allow ourselves to get all emotional about things, that we stick to the Bible.